Blog Talk Radio.
To the cross in the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thanking you for taking time out of your busy, busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, March 2nd, 19 days until the official start of spring. We get out of the ice, the snow, all of that stuff. It's been kind of a mild winter here, but nonetheless, I am ready for spring. But it's also 18 and a half days to the beginning of Nowruz for my dear Iranian friends. Now, many of them, obviously, that are living abroad, some that are living in Iran itself, are probably in no mood for celebration with all that's happening. The death, the violence, the uprising. It's really not a time to celebrate. They're waiting for a new beginning. And really, that's what Nowruz is all about, new beginning. Now, there are those Iranians that live here in the United States that will celebrate. But I can tell you, when I talk to my Iranian friends, some of them say, we will wait until the day our people are free and we'll have a massive celebration then. And I can understand that sentiment, that feeling, that observation. Today on the cross in the desert, I want to spend some time with you in depth and in detail about a obscure little prophecy in the Bible. Now, I've taught on this before, but I want to teach on it again because it's tied right into what I've been speaking to you about, Nowruz and the new beginning. It's also tied into the new book that is very close to being published that Heather and I have just recently finished. It's entitled Uprising, We Are the Revolution. And in this book, I have labored to bring you the story of prominent Iranian young women martyrs who gave their lives for freedom. And obviously, Mahsa Amini is the leading figure in this uprising. And followed by Mahsa, I wrote extensively on Hadas Najafi, Nika Shakarami, and then talked about Azra Panahi. These are names you may or may not be familiar with, but you're about to discover who they are, why they're significant, and what the book is all about. In the book, Heather wrote in detail about her prophetic journey to becoming a voice for her Iranian friends. She's very involved in doing almost the same thing that I do. And in the book, she writes extensively on Serena Azmazadeh and how she gave her life as well for freedom. She wrote on Tomaj Salehi, who is currently suffering intense persecution, intense torture in prison in Iran. Tomaj Salehi is, of course, a very world-famous Iranian rapper. And I think next Thursday, Heather and I are going to meet here, and we're going to do a special program tribute to Tomaj and talk about him and you'll want to join in for that. Now, the context for this prophecy that I want to speak to you about today, of course, centers in the Middle East, and it deals with the nation of Israel, Israel and Iran. Now, when the Shah was in power during the monarchy of the Pahlavi dynasty in Iran, Jews and Iranians, Israel and Iranian, they had a very good relationship. And of course, that all changed when the Shah went into exile and the Ayatollah Khomeini took charge. That changed dramatically. And in the last decade or so, when Ahmadinejad was president of Iran, we constantly heard that Israel is going to be wiped off the face of the map, which they deny, but it was said. There has been this ongoing threat from Iran of what they're going to do to Israel, and it centers in on their nuclear program, their nuclear program. It was exactly 8 years ago that then-President Obama garnered together for his legacy an Iranian nuclear deal. And in that deal, in the clause of that deal, there was something called the Sunset Clause that basically said within the next decade, the Iranians would have full capability of developing nuclear weapons. And, of course, they want to use that primarily against Israel. Well, of course, when Donald Trump became president, that deal, thank God, was tore up, was rescinded. Do you realize that if that deal had been still in place, in just a couple of years, the clause would have disappeared and Iran could have easily put together a nuclear program. Now, there is a story I wrote a few years ago. A friend of mine, Mabi Husampour, her brother, Ardashir, was a scientist involved in this program. When he heard about the Bushehr nuclear site, he wanted to have nothing to do with it enriching uranium beyond the limit that was allowed. And because of this refusal to engage in this program, we both believe that the Iranian regime had him murdered. And it's an amazing story about Ardashir. And I'm hoping someday to write that story in a book. But there is a history to this nuclear program. And, of course, Israel has publicly said over and over again what would happen if they got the ability to fully develop their program. It was 6 months ago, in fact, that then former Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke out about this. Now, of course, he's Prime Minister again. He won a re-election. But I want you to hear what Benjamin Netanyahu, then former Prime Minister, had to say about the Biden administration moving forward on this nuclear deal. Let's listen.
This is a horrible deal, a dangerous deal, that will pave Iran's path with gold, a golden paved highway to a nuclear arsenal. If Iran has nuclear weapons, they don't merely threaten my country, Israel, or the entire Middle East and America's allies. They threaten you directly because simultaneously with developing nuclear weapons, they're developing the means to deliver them across continents. So you could have an Iran governed by these fanatic Ayatollahs who will hold every American city hostage to nuclear weapons. I think this is a threat to the peace of the world, and that's what this horrible deal facilitates. It's even worse than the first one.
That was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu 6 months ago, right before he became Prime Minister again of Israel. And of course, he's exactly right. Iran would not only be holding his country, that is Israel, hostage, but the entire world. They would completely destabilize the peace that Donald Trump orchestrated in the Middle East. And with Joe Biden president now, we know exactly what his plans are. Now, there has been talk in the media that this deal is kind of dead, that Iran won't come to the table, but those are all kinds of stories for the present that could still happen. But the point of the matter is the Biden administration wants to move forward, and reestablish this nuclear deal with Iran. And there you heard from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu exactly what would happen if it happened. Now, what I want to do, and I've taught on this before, but it's very important that you hear it again. I want to talk to you about an amazing book that was written about 10 years ago by Bill Salas called Nuclear Showdown in Iran. In fact, I just recently purchased the original DVD teaching from Amazon. It is an amazing prophecy. For those that think that Iran is not in Bible prophecy, all one needs to do is look carefully at Ezekiel 38 and then also at Jeremiah chapter 49. Now, there is a history and a context to this particular prophecy. Now, not every Bible scholar agrees with this. One notable scholar, which I follow and have tremendous respect for, is Mark Hitchcock. He seems to think that this doesn't exactly apply to the present day. But Bill Salas and many others think it does. So what I want you to do as the listener is to pay attention to the history, the background, and what this prophecy teaches and come to your own conclusions. Why is this so relevant? Well, if it is applicable to the present day, it has incredible ramifications. In the last chapter of our new book, Uprising, Heather and I wrote a prophetic word about the nation of Iran. This all ties in with this prophecy. So what I want to do right now is spend some time about this prophecy. Going to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, the prophet Jeremiah predicted that a portion of Iran would one day undergo a massive disaster, that this epic event would be caused by the Lord himself. It would occur in the latter days and precipitate the worldwide dispersion of many Iranian exiles. Now, you know, since the Ayatollah in 1979 took charge and destroyed freedom in Iran, we had many Iranians that left their homeland reluctantly to go to other nations so they could have freedom. That goes on yet today. What this prophecy is saying is that it's going to occur again, even on a more massive scale. And it says in this prophecy that there would be no nations that these exiles will not go, just like they're doing today. But the question is, when will this occur? So I want us to hear Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 through 39. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, quote, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them, till I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Or I will restore," some translations say, "I will restore the fortunes of Elam." Well, now, you've heard this prophecy in the book of Jeremiah. So where is Elam? During the time that Jeremiah and Ezekiel wrote their prophecies, Alam comprised what is today considered the central western portion of Iran. Alam basically hugged most of the northeastern coastline of the Persian Gulf. Persia, spoken of by Ezekiel, encompassed most of today's northern Iran at their time. So Ezekiel 38 is specifically talking about Persia, and they were writing about 50 to 60 years apart, whereas Jeremiah 49 is talking about that portion of Persia known as Elam before Persia really came into being. Well, who is Elam in the Bible? Well, Elam was a son of Shem, Noah's oldest son. His descendants settled in what is today central western Iran, east of the Tigris River. The Elamites were a warlike people. According to Genesis chapter 14, you read that in verses 1 through 9. Isaiah 22, verse 6 tells us the Elamites were experts in archery, thus the reference to where the Lord says he will break the bow of Elam. Now the question is, was this prophecy not already fulfilled? Isn't this something that's past tense? The prophecy regarding Elam, which I read to you, is believed to have been issued by Jeremiah the prophet in 597 BC. That's 1 year prior to Nebuchadnezzar's conquest of Elam in 596 BC. Although subjugated by the Babylonian king, as a whole, the Elamite culture and language remained intact, and they were not dispersed worldwide. So, first context, the prophecy said they would be dispersed. They were not in this ancient time setting. Cyrus the Great conquered Babylon in 539 BC, commencing the Persian Empire until about 330 BC. The Persian Empire extended through most of the Middle East and encompassed Elam. However, Ezra chapter 4, verse 9 reveals the Elamites still had political representation during this time, and Ezra chapter 2, verse 7 and 31 states that the Elamites returned to their homeland after the Babylonian captivity. They were unsettled, but they returned. If you go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, verse 9, it refers to Elamites that were in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 17 through 29, and Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, give evidence of Elam's existence in the last days. There is no historic record of people from this specific region or ethnic group being dispersed worldwide at any time. So we can say with certainty that the prophecy said that they would be exiled, and they were not. So this prophecy, in other words, has not been fulfilled as of time. The historical tracking and scriptural evidence suggests that these Elamite prophecies remain yet unfulfilled. And of notable importance about that, none of the events cited that I'm reading to you suggest or indicate Elam aroused a fierce anger of the Lord. There's no record. Remember the prophecy said that the Lord is going to be angry at Elam. Well, there's no historical record that he was at that time, meaning that this event is still future. Now, let's go over this prophecy in detail. The most important declaration in this prophecy to note is that Elam has done something that has provoked the fierce anger of the Lord. And as a result, God has Jeremiah declare 8 times, I will bring about a judgment against Elam. Number one, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their military might. Number two, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven. Number three, I will scatter them, that is the Elamites, toward all of those winds worldwide. Number four, I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. Number five, I will bring disaster upon them, my fierce anger. Number six, I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And number seven, I will set my throne in Elam. Number eight, I will destroy from there the king and the princes. And nine, in the latter days, bring back the captives of Elam. These are things that God said he will do. It appears that Elam does something. That is the political leadership specifically. The political leadership of Iran does something that angers the Lord greatly so that they become dismayed. That is, the text says, suffering a disaster, and that a sword falls upon them, suggesting that this judgment is military in orientation. This provocation may also provoke Israel or involve Israel. Now, what is it that provokes the Lord? Well, today's Iran's quest for regional power includes, as I mentioned at the program, the potential acquisition of nuclear weapons and equipping an array of surrogates with missiles. Enemies that might seek to end the rogue state's ambitions include, of course, America, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, many of the Sunni Muslim states. Iran is Shiite Muslim, not Sunni. That the Elamites, or the Elamites, were expert archers, it's interesting to see how Jeremiah picks up on this theme. The Hebrew word for the bow is kweshet. Without a functional bow, an archer is unable to launch arrows at his target. Today, Iran's greatest military strength is its large arsenal of ballistic and cruise missiles. Now, they got that technology, of course, from Russia, China, and North Korea. They are also, of course, as you know, seeking a nuclear warhead. Many of the strategic missile sites are situated in southwestern Iran, facing the Persian Gulf, in what was Elam. And they may be the target, I'm saying, of this prophetic judgment where Elam was located. Another major issue in this is Iran's strategic development of its nuclear program. One of their chief nuclear sites is the Bushehr nuclear reactor, which absolutely happens to be inside the boundaries of ancient Elam, and it's loaded with Russian-made nuclear fuel rods. This site is a nuclear disaster that's waiting to happen. This project, the Bushehr nuclear site, began in 75 under the Shah's government, but it came to a halt in 79 under the Islamic Revolution. German manufacturers withdrew from the project. The Iranians were unable to complete it, so they contracted the Russians, and their nuclear reactor became operational once again in May of 2011. The Bushehr nuclear plant sits topped three tectonic plates. That makes it vulnerable to seismic activity. There was a 6.3 earthquake in the province of Bushehr. On April 9, 2013, it killed 37 people, injured 850. And this prompted Russian scientists to promptly visit the facility to inspect the nuclear fuel rods. So the question becomes this. Is this prophecy a military action against Iran by another country? Or is it a natural disaster involving a nuclear site? And the question is, will the church be present to witness this event? Well, I don't know the answers to all those questions, but I want you to be aware that this prophecy, I believe, will happen one day according to God's word. This prophecy appears to be separate from the Gog and Magog invasion in Ezekiel 38 through 39. Nowhere in the book of Ezekiel is there any reference to Elam. And although there is a worldwide dispersion from this area of southwestern Iran, according to Ezekiel, there will be a Persia in northern Iran that will join the eventual Russian Pan Arab invasion of Israel in the future. So this is, according to Bill Salas, he's an amazing prophetic teacher. Now, you've heard me describe the essence of what this prophecy is all about, but I think it's best to hear from the man who talks about it in his book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran. I want you to hear him teach on this Alam prophecy.
Iran seems to be in the news all the time now, causing so much division in the Middle East. The Arab nations are uniting with Israel against Iran. What is Iran's view in prophecy? Where do they take place, and what are they going to be doing? I brought an expert in Bible prophecy who can help explain that. Folks, it's my great pleasure to have my friend and fellow Bible prophecy teacher, Bill Salas of Prophecy Depot Ministries. He's written quite a number of books, but particularly Nuclear Showdown in Iran. Bill's an expert on not only Bible prophecy, but particularly things in the Middle East, and he knows what's going on in the Bible as it explains what the future of Iran is. So, Bill, so glad you could join us, brother. Glad you can bring your expertise and help us understand the puzzle that is Iran. If you could first explain what's going on in the Middle East now as Iran is related to, say, the Abraham Accords, and two, what is Iran's future as the Bible prophesies?
Okay, absolutely. Thanks for having me back on, Nathan. Iran is a subject of dual prophecies in the end times. Both prophecies do even say in the latter days, and one of those is Ezekiel 38. And one of those in Jeremiah chapter 49. Right now, Iran is the elephant in the room in the Middle East. It is the problem. It's one of the reasons why the UAE and Bahrain have decided to come along and normalize relationships with Israel. Of course, there's other economic aspects to their relationship, but the motivating factor really underlying it is their concerns for Iran and the nuclear aspirations that Iran's got going. Presently, Iran has several nuclear facilities. They got one right real close, right across the Persian Gulf, the Bushehr nuclear reactor. Russia is helping them build Bushehr number two, Bushehr number three. And by 2024, number two will be done. By 2026, number three will be done. This is right across the Gulf. And the Arab states over there, the Gulf Cooperative Council, which would be Kuwait, Bahrain, UAE, Qatar, Oman, and Saudi Arabia, they rely heavily on the Persian Gulf for their water purposes. And right across the Gulf, they've got these Bushehr facilities sitting on very seismic areas, tectonic plates, and they're very concerned about Iran nuclear aspirations throughout the Middle East, but also a nuclear disaster, an earthquake hitting that area, something like that to contaminate their water sources.
How close is Iran to getting a nuclear weapon?
Well, some estimates have been, because now they're enriching uranium much quicker with more faster, better centrifuges, some estimates have been in a couple of months. If they really went head over heels, they could do that. But, you know, that's it's hard to know because Iran is so closed off when it comes to that. But right now, because Donald Trump, when he became president back in May of 2018, roughly around that time frame, I think it was, he decided to get out of the Iran nuclear deal. So from that time forward, Iran has been moving quite rapidly to re-enrich their uranium over there.
Interesting. Do you believe that Bible prophecy prophesies that Iran will attack Israel with a nuclear weapon?
I believe Iran is a subject of a prophecy that is dealing with has nuclear implications, and that's the book that you've got on your table there. It's Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Revealing the Ancient Prophecy of Elam. Elam, when we talk about Bible prophecy, like I said, Iran's a subject of dual prophecies. Most of your prophecy teachers today would say Iran, something in the news about Iran, they point their fingers toward Ezekiel 38, verse 5, where Persia is listed in a coalition of nine members total with Russia and Turkey. They come to invade Israel for plunder and booty, etc. But I say, no, not so fast, because I believe another prophecy happens that precedes that, and that's dealing with Elam, the ancient prophecy of Elam. Now, Elam, and when you look at a modern-day map of Iran, you have Persia, which is about two-thirds of Iran, and ancient Elam, which hugs the Persian Gulf, where those reactors are, the Bushehr reactors I was telling you about. And they've always been geographically isolated by the Zagros mountain range, but they still exist. And the prophecies in Jeremiah wrote, which is around 596 BC, he actually wrote his prophecy before Ezekiel wrote his by about 20 years. And he talks about, I'm just going to take a second because I know the program is short. This prophecy is summed up in six verses. It talks about there's going to come a time, Nathan, where the Lord is going to be fiercely angry with the leadership of Iran. And as a result, he's going to bring about a disaster. We know it, this, and I think this timing is now because the mullahs and kind of Khomeini and everybody, they want to wipe Israel off the map and about to have the nuclear weapons to do that. But it says he's going to destroy from there the kings and the princes because they want to launch something lethal somewhere. He's going to break the bow at the foremost of their might. But then it says when the disaster happens, Nathan, this is why I think it could be nuclear. And I can get into the whole story in the book I do about what's a bow, where's the foremost of their might, probably really referring to the nuclear scenario, etc. But it says when this happens, he'll bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter the exiles, the Edomites, the Iranians, toward all those winds, toward all the nations. There'll be no nations, plural, where the outcasts of Elam don't go. So it creates a humanitarian crisis. Whatever this disaster is, it appears to create a humanitarian crisis. And it goes on to say that when this happens, Iran will be dismayed before their enemies, plural, a menu of enemies. Right now you've got Israel, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, so you've got America's an enemy, you know, et cetera. So we have all the conditions are there. It says he'll pursue them with the sword until he's consumed them. That tends to be a military situation. And then there's good news at the end, which is really a thing that's going on in Iran. As he said, I will set my throne in Elam, and I'll bring back the captives and restore their fortunes in Elam. And that's got a lot of Iranians. That's a backstory here. A lot of Iranians are excited about this Bible prophecy because he's going to set his throne in Elam and bring back the captives after this disaster. Iran is the fastest growing evangelical population in the world right now. They're having dreams, visions, miracles, and healings. And their thousands are coming to the Lord almost daily in Iran converting out of Islam. It's an incredible story.
That is. Well, folks, God has a purpose for those who seem to be against his people. People are getting saved in Iran. Pray for the people of Iran and pray for the peace of Israel because we know there will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes.
That was Bill Salas from his book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, really recapitulating everything I've been talking to you about this morning on the Jeremiah 49 prophecy. Now, at the end of our book, I wrote a word from the Lord concerning Iran and the future of Iran, and I wanted to share that with you in conclusion today. I know I shared that on Monday, but I need to share it again in context to everything that I've been talking to you about today on the program. God says, waves of my glory and waves of restoration are coming soon to your land, O Iran. I will break into pieces the hardened soils of death and destruction that has plagued you for more than 40 years and will cause the rose of Persia to blossom once again. Refreshment and restoration are coming back to your land. I have not forgotten you. I am breathing new life into your hearts and minds. Very soon the walls of this present evil regime will come crumbling down because of the faithful prayers of my elect. The walls are falling. The spirit is calling. A corrupt leadership will soon be dissolved, and a new era of peace and freedom will come into your land like a flood. My word has promised you a hope and a future. I have promised to establish my throne and my kingdom in Elam. The church in Iran is about to rise up and conquer the evil forces that have plagued them for so long. My spirit has given you the victory. Rise up, Iran. You will no longer have to meet secretly. I have given you this land, so rise up and take it. I will summon all of the refugees from foreign lands and cause them to return to the new Iran. I am birthing a new Iran. Your hardship and suffering are about to be rewarded. Keep your eyes and hearts focused entirely on me. I am your only hope and reward, says God. I will restore to you everything that the enemy has devoured, and on that day you will worship me as the true king of Iran. This is an amazing prophetic word that the Lord gave to me. It's in the end of our book, and it is summoning the end times to say that soon Jesus is coming. And let's listen to this song right now from Kristen Stanfill, Even So Come, Jesus. Incredible worship music of Kristen Stanfill. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You can see that the stage is set. You can see the powder keg that is in the Middle East. You can see the continued insistence of Iran to develop a nuclear weapon. And when the prophecy says, I will break the bows of Elam, historically speaking, that he did bring judgment upon the Elamites, breaking the skillful archer's bow. But it also, I believe, has a double fulfillment. Break the bow of Allah, that means a military judgment on their nuclear capabilities. I will break the bow. And the fierce anger, as I've mentioned to you before, as you read this prophecy, we don't see that as being fulfilled many centuries ago. But there is a fierce anger when the Lord stops the Iranians from launching nuclear missiles against his chosen people, Israel. That is the fierce anger in this prophecy that I believe is yet future. This is an amazing prophecy. What I would recommend to you if you really want to investigate this further is, number one, read your Bible. It's right there in Jeremiah chapter 49, 34 through 39. Now, of course, ultimately, to understand the backdrop and everything I explained to you, go ahead and get Bill Salas's book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran. It was written a decade ago, but it's so relevant yet today. There is so much information in that book, even more than what I was able to share with you today on the podcast. But I want you to examine in detail what is going on. I can't do all of that for you today on this podcast, but Bill Salas has spent a good deal of time in research on this. And he's not the only one that says this. There are other biblical scholars, other teachers, Bill Koenig, you can go on, Joel Rosenberg has talked about this prophecy. So there are other experts in this field who see a future fulfillment. Now, again, I don't want to be dogmatic about this, but I can tell you that everything that's happening in Iran, everything that the prophecy mentions, it has future ramifications. The most beautiful part of the prophecy is when he says, that is God, I will set my throne in Elam and destroy their kings and officials, declares the Lord. But in the latter days, I will restore the fortunes of Elam. That's the most beautiful part of the prophecy. So what I suggest you do is pray for the people of Iran in this uprising, that there is coming a day of true peace and freedom, and that this government will not succeed in developing nuclear weapons and will not succeed in trying to destroy Israel. I believe the prophecy is very specific, that there will be a disaster on them, maybe an earthquake and destruction of the nuclear site, or an actual judgment of God on them for trying to attack Israel, his chosen people. It's an amazing little prophecy that has been neglected, and we really need to look at it more in context. And I believe the current day is the key to this context because of the fierce anger that God has about this government, what it's doing to its people and what it's doing to the people of Israel. So again, pray for the church in Iran. They are bold. They are courageous. And pray for the Iranian people. They need our prayers and support at this time with everything that's happening. And in a few weeks, my book will be published, Uprising. I want to say God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me today on the broadcast. And I look forward to interacting with you soon again. That is next Monday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. God bless you. Have an incredible weekend.